This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio.
Amid the brinksmanship about hitting the debt ceiling, the U.S. Treasury's ability to pay our bills could run out in June, some different views this week on the costs or benefits of reining in government spending. Today, a recent work about austerity made it to a list of top books of the last year in the Financial Times. It's called The Capital Order, and it uses the historical record in Europe to argue the case that austerity, tightening the belt, cutting government programs, is less about budgets and debt and more about making the labor force feel insecure on purpose. The author is Clara Matei, an econ professor at the New School for Social Research in New York, and she joins us now. Dr. Matei, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Professor, your close reading of the 20th century historical record finds that austerity may have a hidden agenda?
Absolutely. First of all, we should stop looking at the economy in the aggregate, because a capitalist economy has winners and losers. And for a capitalist economy to be stable, we need to stabilize class relations, which means that we need to avoid people complaining about their condition in society. And in a moment in which we see that there's more and more strikes, 50% increases in strike in 21, 22 with respect to the previous years, this is a moment in which austerity has to strike hard in getting us all back to accept the current status quo.
To understand this better, you have to understand your argument that by creating scarcity, which is what austerity can do by reining in government spending and social programs and so forth, it makes people, you would say, afraid and insecure so that they won't demand, for instance, higher wages?
Yes. The idea here is that austerity is all about getting us all to have to depend more on having money in our pocket in order to make a living, together with the precariousness that an economic downturn brings about, have the political effect of silencing demands for better conditions or even demands for more radical social changes towards a society that is based on different principles and not on the exploitation of wage work.
The subtitle of this book is How Economists Invented Austerity and Paved the Way to Fascism. The historical record in Italy after the First World War gets examined, and a picture emerges of Britain and the U.S. being okay with Italian dictator Mussolini's brutal tactics because it's under the umbrella of austerity that makes Italy a safer place for investors.
If we look close enough, what we see historically is that Mussolini was the best student of austerity. He was able to implement austerity policies very efficiently, and this provided him with the material and political support of the whole liberal elite international establishment, from the Bank of England to JP Morgan Chase to the US Treasury, applauding Mussolini because of his capacity to silence the working population in Italy, which in those years was very turbulent, quote unquote, because it was asking for radical changes and claims of economic democracy were emerging.
One thing that you certainly don't accept is the idea that when a group of economists comes trying to promote policies of austerity, that it's just a clinical decision, that it's technocratic, that politics isn't really involved because it's economics.
Absolutely. Economics is not a neutral discipline. Under austerity capitalism, it is necessary to shift resources away from the people in favor of the few, because it increases the precariousness of our livelihoods and silences the possibilities towards change that would be actually democratic.
New School econ professor Clara Matei's book is called The Capital Order, How Economists Invented Austerity and Paved the Way to Fascism. It was listed by a Financial Times columnist as one of the best books of the year just concluded. Professor Matei, thank you so much.
It was really wonderful to be here. Thank you.